Thank you, Monica. We're going to reconvene this regular meeting session. The entire board apologizes for extending our low estimate of 30 minutes to darn near 45. We had a good conversation with council members this week. So the next order on the agenda is the consent agenda. Pam? I call for
a vote for the consent agenda. Motion and then a second.
The board calls for a vote.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Monica?
Aye.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, the next order of business is San Juan County PhD number one operations report. Campbell Hutchins.
Okay, for the month of December, total receipts posted by the county were $16,367.45. Of that total, $15,578.45 were property tax revenues, and that made the total cash available at the end of December $713,126.04. On the disbursement side, they totaled $49,667.99 for December, and of that total, there were $1,150 for the administrative assistant for the district, $1,710 were for commissioner's fees for the fourth quarter of 2017, $234.71 for payroll taxes, and there were $46,793.75 in accounts payable warrants. The county also canceled some warrants in December, and we had, for the district side, we had $220.47 warrants that were canceled, so that they added that balance back to our account. For the financials, I had, as promised at the last meeting, because there were a couple of meetings where we didn't do financials in my absence and everything going on, I did a profit and loss for the last quarter, the fourth quarter. So you'll see that for October through December. And you'll also see the profit year-to-date, which has December on it, and then it has a year-to-date January through December for 2018. And then there's the financials for just the month of December. For the year-to-date total, which at the end of the year, they do the 13th month processing. They're doing all of that. There's still some figures that are shoring up for the end of the year, so these figures for all of 2017 are still a little bit fluid. But you can tell that the net income for the year, if you go to the bottom, from January through December of 2017 was $20,311.79. And the budgeted amount was predicted at minus $708,364. So the district is well better than the budget by $728,676.79. And that is because the subsidy payment for Peace Health is coming to be paid in February, because they cannot get their figures by the end of the year. So we pay the last half of 2017 and 2018. So the budget reflects having that money in there so that we can make that payment. So at the end of February, they do plan on giving their report next month. Then the money will and the budget will sync up better with that. Do you have any questions?
So, Pam,
yes, Monica?
I have a question.
Okay.
So, Pam, can you clarify, accounting for the Peace Health payment, where do we stand with the budget at year end? Just assume that payment is made?
Okay, the payment to Pete's Health is somewhere in the neighborhood of $514,000. So if you subtract that from 728, you'll see we are still over $200,000 of money left at the start.
Okay.
And we will be getting more property tax revenues in every month, so it'll get better than that. But yes, we still do have quite a bit of money to cover the rest of our expenses after that payment. Anything else? That's for financial. Then in my operations report, we are still trying to sell the Inner Island Medical Center. We're going on 5 years now. And as you know, we've talked about this before, the RCWs, to sell the medical center, you have to have 3 appraisals. One full appraisal and 2 market analysis done by realtors to give it an appraised amount, and then we can sell it for 90% of the average of those 3 appraisals. They have to be within a year of the sale date, so all three of the appraisals have, the time has run out, so I'm looking to get new market appraisals and a new full appraisal for the property. So that is happening now. And that's... Yes. Yes, Monica?
I have a question about the proceeds of the building.
Okay.
And how they're applied. And perhaps with the institutional knowledge of Commissioner Edwardson, part of this is for Annalisa's benefit, Commissioner Lindstrom's benefit. Are the proceeds, where do the proceeds go after the building is sold? And my understanding from past comments was that the amount of money that is owed on the new EMS facility was factored in there, but I would appreciate Dr. Edwards or Pam, you kind of laying that out for us.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You want to do it, or it has always been the intention of the boards that I have participated in and worked for that when the medical center was sold, that those proceeds would go to pay down the EMS mortgage on this building, or the bond. They took out a bond. And so the proceeds from the medical center would pay down the bond, and it would reduce EMS's expenditures on their bond. They will have the choice of renegotiating the bond after paying that amount on it, or just if they don't renegotiate the bond payment, the approximately almost $10,000 a month right now that's being spent on the bond would continue at the same payment, but with the money paid down, a big sum, it would be paid off much sooner.
With that said, though, that the money does initially at least revert to the coffers of the San Juan County Public Hospital District.
Yes.
So even though historically we've been very consistent in earmarking that money towards mitigating the EMS mortgage, we don't have to do that.
No, it's not.
Right. It's up to the current board to make a majority decision. So. Does that answer your question, Monica?
Yes.
Okay. The last part of my operations report, I had last Tuesday had sent a letter to the board announcing my resignation as superintendent effective March 31st, 2018. The job has gotten to be much more things that I have not enjoyed doing the last year and a half, and I just felt it was time for me to resign and pursue other employment. That being said, with the things that have happened today and this morning and the things that are happening in the district, I have reconsidered my decision, and I feel like it's not a good time for me to leave the district. I've always loved working for the district. It's best interests I've tried to put forth, and I just don't think it's appropriate right now with so many things, decisions up in the air, that it would be a good time for me to leave the office. So I am asking the board if I may rescind my resignation and continue on with my job at this time. But that is your decision to rescind my resignation, or you can accept my resignation.
So your employment is renewed on a yearly basis, is that correct?
It's not renewed on a yearly basis any longer. The old contracts were, but in 2016, in December of 2016, the contract was negotiated to continue every year unless I resigned or the commissioners let me go. So it's in effect.
So do you have any sense of what time frame you are considering?
Of staying? Okay. If things proceed and get under control and I feel like the district is on a good note and I'm doing things in my superintendent job that I can do all of my duties instead of just focusing on meeting stuff and policy enforcement and things like that, I would stay until like my resignation never happened. I don't have a plan that I'm just going to give you 3 months and see. I just would rescind my whole resignation and try to do the best I can to help the district get back on solid ground and continue on.
Well, thank you, Pam. Can the board hear a motion for extension of Pam's tenure?
I move to accept Pam's rescission.
I'm going to have to duck out. I just got an emergency text from a family member, so I am signing off of this meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Be safe, Monica. That music is great.
So I move to accept Pam's rescission of her resignation.
Can we hear a second?
Second.
Discussion? I think it's delightful to have the opportunity to have her. All her evaluations during my long tenure have been getting better and better. She's almost irreplaceable. So thank you, Pam. Call for a vote.
Call for a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. I had a question going back to the three requisite appraisals, Pammy.
Mm-hmm.
Times pass, unless we had someone who was legitimately interested, we didn't necessarily renew those on an annual basis. And that decision was driven by it costs money to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it a bit different in your
Well, we can. They have not. I'm looking for two realtors to give new market analysis, and I have not. Spoke with the Gustafson and Associates that did the full appraisal about that the other one had run out, but I have not elicited the contract yet.
So
we can wait until someone were to offer, but I get the realtor gets the question, well, what's the, they start the, well, we're offered going to this, and then they, so.
So what's the board's feeling? Should we drag our heels on this and save some money, pull the trigger at a later time on an as-needed basis once we get people who are really genuinely interested, or shall we authorize Pam to get the three appraisals at this point in time? What's the feeling?
What is Bill Gusey saying?
Well, he, I don't know if you've driven by the medical center lately, there is a big realtor sign because of the Life Care Center being for sale also. The same realtor is the representative for the Life Care Center also. So he is getting more interest for possibly both properties at this time, but there has been nothing under contract yet to be offered. And the market analysis for the realtors is $250. The full appraisal is roughly $3,000.
Is that each or?
Yeah, each. Uh-huh. And that is a lower price than most appraisals, but because he's familiar with the property and, you know, he comes to do it, he can do the appraisal in shorter time, and he already has statistics and things, so he reduces his cost.
Do you have any comments, questions, Eloise?
No. We have no interest.
As of now, there is not a solid contract offer.
So with interest. The board's consent, particularly with the $3,000 full up appraisal fee, I would suggest that we do as we have in the past, and that is operate under as-needed basis, PRN basis.
Okay.
And pull the financial trigger at that time.
Okay.
Okay. Okay,
that's
with
good.
You, Dr. Swain?
Yes.
Great.
All right.
Thank you, Pam. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's the end of your operational report.
That is the end, yes.
Now, next on the agenda is Chief Jerry Martin, Salmon Island EMS.
Board and members of the community. This report is for January 24th, 2018. And for the year end, we were just shy of 1,100 calls for the year, which put us down about 4.5% less than what we were last year. I think a lot of the reason being was kind of the our summer months slowed down a little bit because of the ferry traffic. And also, too, our community paramedicine program is working very, very well. We currently, Laney has seen about 32 patients this year, and I think that has ceased the repeat calls for patients. So I think because of that, our call load has gone down, which is what Laney is doing is phenomenal. So if Laney is here, I want to give her a big thank you.
She's hiding in the back there.
So, right. So Laney, thank you. Thank you very much. And maybe next month we can get a report from you just to give the board idea of where you're going. Last month we had 24 transports to Island Air, 4 to Airlift, and 0 for the Navy. And then there's a breakdown as you see the calls for each of the entities per month. For our financial review, I'm going to turn this over to Chris Compton, and I think there's some very good news that he's going to be passing on. Chris.
All right, so this is I'm going to talk through obviously December, but really we're covering the whole year, right? So this is kind of how did we end up on target with the with budget. And so we ended up at our revenue was slightly under budget our year-to-date revenue is $2,163,808, which was at 97.9% of budget projections. So we were pretty much right there. The explanation really is because our calls were under budget. We had less calls, so that had certainly part to do with that. But while our revenue was slightly under budget, our expenditures were also under budget at $2,240,130, which put us at 96.1% of budget. So we eked under there by just under budget. So we are just under $90,000 under budget, $89,932. So we had budgeted for a shortfall and a much larger shortfall than we had. So anyway, that left our cash position at the end at $678,305, which is at about 3.75, so almost 4 months of average monthly expenditures. We're sitting in, I think, better. Well, we're sitting in better shape than we expected. You know, this was a year where we knew we were going to have a loss because there was a major equipment purchase, and it was our first full year of not having the air component. Overall, that has all we've really been able to kind of keep a fairly even keel on that. We've closed out, or we're closing out the Intermedics receivables this at the end of this month. We'll have all that behind us. There's just a few remaining accounts on there that are related to the CID, because they were our billing provider at the time, and those are flights for Medicaid that were frozen. The rest of the accounts have either been written off or sent to collections. We had a so now we'll just be dealing with systems design, and we're in pretty. It's really nice to be, you know, kind of. I'd say this has been a major point of our discussions almost every board meeting that I've been involved with since I started working, helping you guys out in mid-2016, and so it's kind of a big turning point for us. We also had we've been in the midst of the of our what would you call it, a semi-annual state audit. So they've audited for every. They audit us every 2 years to cover 2 years back. So for the audits of 2016 and 2015 and 2016, we're in the midst of wrapping that up. They conducted most of their field work out here in November. It's been going through review, some additional information, a little back and forth, as these typically do. We had a meeting both with Pam and Chief Martin and myself with the auditors on Monday, and just to hash over some other questions. You may not be very surprised to know that one of their biggest questions in trying to get their hands around with the financial statements was the accounts receivable. So we went through all that again to get a good grasp of, to make sure that they're fairly stated on the financial statements, you know, net of our allowances, and making sure that they're fully accounted for and the revenue's fully accounted for. So I think we're going to have another wrap-up meeting conference call with them on Friday, and there's some adjustments that they've proposed that we'll be making to the financial statements, updating those financial statements, and so I think we'll be able to, I would expect by it's going to have to go through a couple levels of review within the state auditor's office before it's, you know, released, but I would expect by February the audit should be complete and released. The current accounts receivable with systems design is at the end of the month, we're sitting at $97,124. The accounts receivable that remain within Intermedics that are the frozen accounts, that's assuming the average collection rate for Medicaid calls, if they clear following the results of the CID investigation, it would amount to about $33,000. So, in total, we can say we're looking at about our accounts receivable is about $120,000. So, think, is there anything you want to add?
So with our discussion with the Washington State Auditor, they also gave us a suggestion on how we should proceed with our accounts receivable. So we'll be reformatting that and then bringing that to the board for your guys' approval before we do any more write-offs. And so we're going to be doing that, getting that ready for you guys at the next month's meeting. And this is just great news for us. I think that we've been attacked on having a budget that is unsustainable, and I believe this budget is sustainable. You know, we're not going to be buying a lot of new stuff or fancy stuff, but we're able to keep this operation going, and with the high level of service that we're providing, so that is unquestioned. So that being said, our community, Laney has the every 15 minutes scheduled for the 17th and 18th, and that's all been supported by donations and that. So we're looking good there. For local IFF local 3219, we received a grievance from them on the January 10th. That's been answered back to them that we don't believe there's a grievance on that. Then yesterday I received a citizens a group complaint concerned about issues with the operation and the board, and that's been included in your packet. Also, there was a question about taking that letter to the Washington State Board of Ethics. So just to let you know that was mentioned. The CID investigation was postponed to February the 12th, and that was because of the AG's office needing a postponement. The operations, I'm very pleased to announce that Kyle Davies is our EMT of the month. He really put himself out here for the interim position. Plus, he's a very fine medic, and with all he does, he's an excellent resident of this community. So I want to thank Kyle for his work. We're still continuing talks with fire and EMS, and we're working on medical protocols and water rescue. We had a CPR call Sunday that we were able to revive. And so just a really big thank you to the men and women that were on that call, and that you should be doing well. We had another call yesterday, CPR call, that they were able to get to the hospital, and they tried to get her off the island a couple of times, but she didn't make it. And this would be one of the things that we need to be looking at as far as this organization is maybe getting a mechanical CPR device, a Lucas device, and I think that would maybe help us out there. If they did CPR on her at the hospital for an awfully long time, with the work of the men and women of both the hospital and San Juan Island EMS. So I want to again thank you guys for your very hard work. In your packet, I've given you a listing of the calls year to date for 2017, and there's the numbers of all the different types of calls that the medics and EMTs have seen. The second page there I show you is just the numbers just jump out at you. That for patients 55 and older, they account for 67% of our calls that were going on. 65 and older, they're 55% of calls. And so we have, and we see a lot of falls. So the community paramedicine portion of this for our program is huge. We could truly be the poster child for this for community paramedicine, and we're working with the ACH group to get that on the islands. The other ones, you'll see that it is a primary breakdown of the trauma calls that we see, and you'll see that 85 of the 122 calls were fall related, and so that doesn't break it down by age, but you can certainly tell that that's that would be our elderly. And then there's calls there, time of day. There's a report there that shows that our that the summer months are our busy months with the all the activities and the visitors that come to the island. Next one, time of day, and then where our zones at, where we're actually going to. And of course, a majority of our calls are to the Friday Harbor and down this this area. Of the calls, again, we had 844 emergent calls. So they were serious calls. And then you'll see the breakdown of the our annual collections, and this is for the whole year of 2017. Community paramedicine, again, 32 patients enrolled, and it has been tremendous. Nanny's been out there every day, and sometimes even on the weekends, meeting with these patients and that. So again, I think that has a lot to do with our call volumes going down. Tina, our administrative assistant, she is worth her weight in gold, and I'm very well blessed about working in this organization, that I have really good, smart people working for me, and I don't have to tell them what to do, and often they tell me what to do. So Tina, she's been being courted by a couple of organizations to maybe leave us and go somewhere else, and a lot of that is because of the pay and that. So I've talked to you commissioners is to raise her pay from $21.15 up to $25.99, and that's a comparable rate for not only this area but it is, that is the low pay for our district, and then raise her PTO from 18 to 24, and do that also for Carl, as they both got hired on the same year, and because the PTO is inclusive of vacation, sick leave, and holidays, this would just get them up to a level that would be that they should be at. And that is what I have for you guys. Any questions of me?
Do you feel there's money in the budget for these raises, as much as we'd like to get them?
Yes, I do. My salary, I did not take a pay raise last year, and I did not, or cost of living, or not this one this year either. So there is money in that budget for that. And then because Tina is such a valuable employee of this department, we will find money there for that. Yes, we received a wonderful grant from the Inner Island Medical Center to
healthcare
to offset some of our expenses, and so between that and the pay raise that I have not taken, that
yes. So, Chief, are you requesting the board formally rule on these pay raises and increases in PTO?
I don't believe you have to, but if you guys were to acknowledge this, that'd be good.
I acknowledge that. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Proffer a motion in that regard. I second that. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that.
Another question? As far as the SID meeting being postponed roughly the middle of this month, and the absence of Commissioner Williams, I was originally one of the two commissioners. Commissioner Monica Harrington was the other original, and then displaced when everyone around here thought they were getting rid of it at the end of 2017. That didn't transpire. So I would like to stand in with the board's permission and as the second commissioner. That said, I would recognize and appreciate council's recommendation to not have either a commissioner there. So sort of two-for-one recommendation. But what does the board feel about that?
Yeah, I concur. Do you want that as a motion?
Yes.
So moved.
Hold on. So the motion is to have no commissioners present?
Well, it was actually two components to it. One is if council, Mr. Fredman, does indeed ask to have commissioners in attendance, and he expressed not too long ago that he felt it would be better that neither commissioner show up. Mm-hmm. If that's his current opinion, then I would suggest that neither Monica or I show up. Because council actually, we're not going to interact with the AG's office anyhow. We're going to be sitting there. And number two, if he says, no, I want commissioners here, then I would like to stand back into my original position as one of two board liaisons.
So moved.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Is that the end of your report?
Yes, sir. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I do have the strategic framework update, and that's been included in your packet. This was last year we did our strategic plan, and part of the plan is to give us a plan that we were able to open up and read in a very nice format. He has submitted a first draft. That's been dispersed to the staff for their review, and I'd like to have the board members also review that, see if this looks familiar, and to see if there's any changes that you'd like to see made to this. So that's there for your review.
And who's the author here?
Tom.
Tom, okay, very good.
I did have one thing.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask about this citizen group. There are no signatories. If they're going to file a complaint with the Ethics Board of Washington State, are they under what name?
They can do that anonymously.
They can?
Yes. Okay. And when they came here, I got a phone call from them on Monday. They came here on Tuesday, dropped off the letter, and said that they were, you know, taxpayers, citizens of the area, and
difficult to respond when there's no one signing. But, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Any other questions of Chief Martin?
One thing I missed adding with the budget comparison is that there's a component in there that we had budgeted for with the new GEMT, the Ground Emergency Transport program, that basically supplements for the low payments we receive from Medicaid, and it's a state program. That was expected to be in place by the end of 2017, and we'll be able to bill back to, I believe it's into 2016.
June 1st of 2016.
Yeah, and but that has not been put in place yet, so we will be getting that. So that we budgeted about $40,000 for that. That did not come in 2017. We expect that it should come into play, and that those funds should come in here, I think, maybe even within the first quarter, or at least the first half of the year in 2018.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
So I understand that the San Juan Island EMS chooses to honor their chief for the last 2 years And I know Carl is prepared to speak in that regard. Carl, please.
Thank you. I guess you guys are getting used to seeing me a lot. I'm expecting a nameplate pretty soon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Carl Kutzing. I'm the Director of Operations here at San Juan Island EMS. I came into that position just a month after Chief Jerry Martin came in to lead the organization. So it's been 2 years. Sometimes it feels like more than that. Sometimes it feels just like yesterday that the Chief's been here. He came into this organization and inherited an interesting situation, to say the least. But through his hard work and diligence, he uncovered a lot of things, put a lot of things right, and instituted some policies and changes that put us back on the right track. And we all appreciate that. One of those things that he did institute was he asked us all to wear uniforms. And of course, that was a little bit difficult to take for us being part of this rural community, but we all wear badges that are they show a shield, and I think that shield is very apropos to what Chief Martin's done for us. He's let us do our job and protected us from the machinations and the things going on outside the agency, and let us do our work and help provide for the community. So he has been our shield, and he's been our champion, and we certainly do appreciate that. In lieu of that, we've got a little something, a plaque that we have for the Chief that we'd like to present to him. It says, in appreciation, presented to Chief Jerry Martin, thank you for your dedication and hard work in the service of San Juan Island EMS and the community which it serves. Your support and championship of the men and women of the agency is greatly appreciated. May you find joy and contentment in the knowledge of a job well done. With gratitude from the EMTs, medics, and staff at San Juan Island EMS, and it has the dates of service. The bottom says, we will miss you. And we'd like to give that to you, but of course, I'm giving it to you now, but I'm taking it back, because we have our annual awards banquet, and we'll give it to you again then. Surprise.
Is that the banquet for 2018? Oh, or 2019?
Carl? Yeah, I know. Yes, I want to thank you and the members of San Juan Island EMS in the community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you.